Welcome to Snark Squad Pod, a media podcast full of friendship, feelings, and snark. I am Nicole Sweeney.
My name is Marines.
And we are joined today by Sam and Jessica.
Hi, I'm Sam Schultz. I'm a producer for the YouTube channel SciShow, and I'm also one of the hosts of the podcast SciShow Tangents. And that's all. And I'm on Twitter at Slam Schultz. That too.
Hi there. I'm Jessica, and you've heard me before on the Snark Squad podcast. Last time we were talking about Birds of Prey, so it's fun to be back in this universe. And I also do a podcast with some friends of mine called Macabre Bros, where we talk about horror movies and beer pairings.
And Sam and Jessica are back with us because, as Jessica just hinted, we are back in the DC universe. We are making our way through the DC movies. Back when we did the MCU movies, longtime listeners of the podcast may recall that I refused, and yet here we are.
I will say that she refused and she held fast for a while, but at some point in 2020, like randomly, you just messaged me and were like, yeah. I think I can do this. Like, I think it's time.
I was a broken shell of a person. And I was just,
why now? Why did you decide to do it now?
Sam, why are any of us making any of our choices? Okay.
What is time? What is anything?
It's a valid question, but I don't have a good answer. But much like the MCU movies, we are borrowing yet again from our friend podcast Real Bad, and doing, rather than a like lengthy plot synopsis of the four movies that we are discussing today, we're going to do individual 60-second plot dumps. I guess I should back up and say that the structure that we're making our way through these, because they don't have quite the same clean phase delineation that the MCU movies do. So we're doing four movies today. Our next episode is going to be just Justice League, and then we're going to do another four movies, and that should get us through what exists. So, 60-second plot dump time. Mari is going to kick us off with Man of Steel.
Man of Steel is four movies in a trench coat parading as one. The first movie is the story of Krypton, which, due to mining its planetary core, is about to explode. The military leader, General Zod, tries to stage a coup, but it doesn't work, so he gets sent to the Phantom Zone and the planet explodes. The second movie is an origin story for Clark Kent / Kal-El of Krypton, who is shipped to Earth with his people's genetic codex to save him and preserve their people. He lands in Kansas, he's raised by the Kents, and he has superhero abilities thanks to Earth's yellow sun. And the third movie, reporter Lois Lane is sent to cover this crashed spaceship and ends up seeing Clark being all super. So she investigates him and uncovers his identity as Clark Kent. And in the fourth movie, Zod has escaped the Phantom Zone and comes to Earth looking for the Codex. He uses a world engine to terraform Earth and hopes to genocide everyone. The US government is suspicious of Superman because he's an alien. Superman almost loses, but then he wins and he kills Zod. The end.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
On the dot.
Okay, Sam, you are up. Batman v Superman. Go.
Superman. We just talked about him. He, after some problems at the end of the last movie, he seems like he's doing a lot better a couple years on. But some people still don't trust him, like Bruce Wayne, who is Batman, the Dark Avenger of Gotham City, which is the evil city across the bay from Metropolis. His parents got killed, and now he is 20 years into a fight against crime, and he's all old, and he hates everybody and doesn't trust anyone. Somebody else hates Superman, Lex Luthor, who's like a tech billionaire, wonderkind, whatever, to the public, but in secret, he is an arms dealer, and he wants to be the most powerful man in the world, but right now it's Superman, and he can't stand that. So Lex pulls strings behind the scenes to get Batman to be really... I'm not going to be able to do this. This will be so freaking... to get Batman to be extra crabby and hate Superman, which he does successfully. Then he makes them fight. They find out their parents have the same name. Their moms have the same name, and they become super friends, and then they beat up Lex Luthor, and that's so much else happens in the movie.
This time. Yes, so much else happens.
A valiant effort.
And now it's my turn to do Suicide Squad. I didn't prepare at all, so
I'm so excited.
It's gonna be fine. All right, here I go. Suicide Squad, what if the bad guys had a movie. That's it. That's what's going on here. Amanda Waller is an intelligence officer, and she goes to DC to be like, guys, there's a bunch of super people who are bad, and they're in prison. And what if I got them out of prison and made them work for us? And the government at first is like, that seems like a bad idea. And then she's like, okay, but one of them is a witch and I have her heart. And they're like, oh, okay. So they, they let her do it. And so the bad guys in question are, so there's the witch, there's Harley Quinn, there's Deadshot, El Diablo can blow up, Captain Boomerang, I don't even remember who that is. But the point is that the bad guys are a thing, and then it turns out that the witch is not actually in their control, and her, she brings back her brother, and it's bad. And so then the bad guys have to, I don't know, stop the end of the world, but then they have to go back to prison anyway. So that's it.
The end. Beautiful.
Yep. And then finally, Jessica is going to be giving us the plot synopsis for Wonder Woman.
Okay. Meet Diana, an Amazon princess who has spent her whole life training to be awesome on the hidden island paradise of Themyscira. War and the outside world come to their shores by way of handsome pilot Steve Trevor, played by Chris Pine, an American spy for the British being pursued by Nazis. Diana follows him into Europe and the world of men on a mission to end the war to end all wars, aka World War I. She believes Ares, the god of war, is behind this and seeks to kill him. Meanwhile, she, Steve, and a band of less than honorable men battle at the front. Their mission is to stop the creepy and nefarious Dr. Poison from deploying a new deadly gas, thereby saving the lives of soldiers and civilians alike. During their exploits, Diana begins to learn more about humankind and shades of gray when it comes to war, honor, and courage, and more about smooching when it comes to Chris Pine. In a climactic battle, she defeats Ares, while Steve nobly sacrifices himself to save everyone from the gas. Diana embraces her newfound knowledge of herself as Zeus's daughter and of the complicated world of humankind where love constantly battles war and hate. Whew.
Incredible.
Wow. Nice.
Amazing.
I wrote mine out too, but mine ended up being 3 pages long. So
to be fair, I think movie counts in this one.
So before we get into talking about all of those movies, there's two sort of like quick prep things that I want to go through to set the stage for who we all are talking about these DC movies. So first things first, now that we have established to varying degrees of success the plot of these movies, rapid fire, I want you guys all to rank them from best to worst. Sam, you first.
Okay. My number one, Wonder Woman by default, because it's the only one that's a real movie. Number two, Batman versus Superman. Number three, Suicide Squad. Bottom of the list, Man of Steel.
Ooh, I'm baffled.
A hot take.
Jessica. Man, okay. So I'm going to say Wonder Woman at the top again. No one is surprised by this. Oh, my God. I'm going to put Suicide Squad next. And so then follow that with, God. I want to say Batman versus Superman narrowly beats out Man of Steel at the bottom. But it is.
I'm dying.
That is a tough
They're
one.
They're close. Yeah.
Okay, Mari, your turn.
Okay, Wonder Woman is objectively the best. And number two is Man of Steel. Number three, Batman versus Superman. And number four is Suicide Squad.
My list is about the same. Wonder Woman is number one. I'm going to put Man of Steel at number two. Really, three and four could go either way. So just to keep it interesting, I'm going to say Suicide Squad and then Batman v Superman. So now that we know where we're all going, I want to take a step back and just give us like quick background. Like, have you seen any of these movies? Were you fans of the comics? Like, how well do you know these characters? All of that sort of like general background stuff.
I would say in terms of DC as a whole, I watched the Batman animated series from like the 90s all the way through Justice League Unlimited, which was like the continuation of that series through like a couple decades worth of cartoons. So I'm familiar with all those characters mostly through that. I've read quite a few comic books, but not recently, not within the past like 5 years or so. But I know the characters really well. And I saw these movies. I didn't see Man of Steel until I had to watch it for this. The rest, I think I saw them all in theaters. begrudgingly, I think, mostly just to like Batman versus Superman, just to see like how bad it was, because everybody was so excited about how bad it was. And yeah, I don't like these movies, and I still don't like these movies. I wouldn't say I'm a fan of them, but I'm a huge fan of the DC universe in general.
Okay. Most of my knowledge of DC comes from movies. You know, I watched all the Batman movies in the 90s, so I know Batman, Superman. I knew of different TV shows with him in it, but never really like faithfully watched them. And then Wonder Woman, I did watch that animated movie where Nathan Fillion plays the pilot. I forget what that was. It might have just been called Wonder Woman. But then I saw them all in the theater except Man of Steel. And I think I saw Batman versus Superman like the weekend it came out for, I don't know, you go to a movie and remember it was the worst. I do, because it was so bad. And I went by myself thinking, this will be a fun superhero. And I walked out with like, I'm never getting those 2 hours back ever. So I came in very prejudiced against that movie. And then I was seduced by the Suicide Squad trailer and soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And I keep wanting it to be good, and it's not. And then Wonder Woman I saw in the theaters because of her being the best part of Batman v Superman. I was super excited to see that. Plus, it's just in my wheelhouse anyways, so.
My whole thing with superheroes is that I like them a lot in theory because I like lawful good characters. Like, that's my jam. But I'm not, like, a huge comic book reader. But with the DC universe, I was introduced, I guess, or my main experience is with Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. So this was happening in the 90s. I watched the crap out of it. I loved that TV show. So by extension, Superman is like my favorite of all superheroes. And since then, I've watched other TV shows with him in it, Smallville, things like that, and other movies with him, old ones as well, like Christopher Reeves as Superman and Batman movies from the 90s as well. So like a smattering of experience dabbling in the comic books, but not anything that, you know, I have like an extensive knowledge of any of their plot lines. But again, Superman is my favorite superhero. So for these movies, Wonder Woman is the only one that I saw in theater. I thought I had only seen Man of Steel otherwise. Like, I watched it just at home, like rented it, and I was like underwhelmed. But then I started watching Suicide Squad for this, and my brain immediately went, hey girl, you saw this, you just forgot. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I completely forgot I saw, like, I watched that movie and immediately deleted it from my brain. So I was surprised to find that at some point, I cannot give you any context for when and where and how, but I had seen that movie before and just immediately forgot. So Batman v Superman is the only one I hadn't seen.
I have never read any comics. I did watch the Batman cartoon in the 90s, not like super religiously, but I definitely saw quite a bit of it, completely forgot until Sam mentioned it. And I'm pretty sure I have seen all of the Batman movies since like 1989 Tim Burton Batman from that point forward, prior to this iteration. As for these specific movies, Wonder Woman is the only one that I was like, yo, yeah, just I want to go see this movie. Mm-hmm. I saw Batman v Superman for an episode of Real Bad Podcast. And, you know, it was bad. It's the name of the show, as promised. And we also went to see Justice League as part of that. So I can't wait to keep rewatching movies that I have already established are bad.
I must have been on both of those episodes with you. That's been deleted from my mind.
That's like the main reason that I was like, oh, Sam. Yes. Sam did the bad movies with me. Similar to Mari, like I knew that I watched Batman v Superman because like I did record a whole, I don't know, like 2 hour long podcast episode about it. But I, like, while watching it, I was like, I truly have no idea, because my brain was like, no,
yeah,
all of this, no, we're not keeping this. Okay, so now we're just gonna, you know, make our way through these movies. We're gonna start with Man of Steel, which seems, based on those rankings, like it's going to be a controversial bit of discussion here. So, Sam, this was you're the one who placed this one at the very bottom.
Uh-huh.
Why?
I think Jess did too. Didn't you?
I put it like 1/2 point below Batman versus Superman, okay, but I'll probably be convinced. I don't know.
I think all mine are within a half point of each other too, pretty much. So
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I think what Mari said about it being four movies in a trench coat is what I feel about all of these movies. Mm-hmm. In that, I think this would be an okay Superman movie if it was like the third Superman movie of this Superman, and there was like one at the beginning where he had kind of like a feel good adventure, and then learns about himself a little bit, and then the second one is just something else, and then the third one he has to deal with like the sins of his past or something like that, or like something more specific to him. I don't like in superhero movies when the breakout adventure of the hero is also like them saving themselves instead of like saving the world somehow. And I feel like this movie, all he was doing was like defending himself from something that was his fault. So it's kind of hard to come out of it and be like, well, maybe Superman's okay, because just him being there was what destroyed the world in the first place, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like, even if at the beginning of the movie he had like a mini adventure that was kind of feel good and like stopped some bad guy who wasn't connected to him, I think then I would have come out of it like, ah, well, there's good and bad to Superman. But it just was like a downer, kind of. It just was not like, even when he's flying around and like looks happy, whenever, what's that guy's name?
Henry Cavill.
Yeah. Even him smiling looks pretty sinister still. So
yeah,
like an aura about him where it's hard to be like really moved by something he's doing, because he's just kind of like got that energy to him. And that sounds kind of boring too.
I have a lot of feelings about Henry Cavill as an actor. That's like Mari and I, as we were watching them, most of our conversation is a lot of her being like, he's so pretty. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's his whole thing, is that he is so preternaturally attractive that he's never had to develop a personality. And like, he's not charming. He's just that hot. Like, that's what's going on there.
And it works for him in The Witcher too, because he's kind of a little bit evil in The Witcher, and he's like an otherworldly being.
And he doesn't have a lot of lines, grunts. A lot.
He doesn't really have to say anything. He just grunts and takes baths. That's perfect. Like, great, a great role for him. But also, too, I still, this is not moving me from my placement of this as the second, as my number two movie. But also, to your point, Sam, about it, like, it being him running from things that are his fault, my, like, an early on quibble that I have with this movie is his whole reason for being in like isolation or whatever, the thing he's running away from is the death of his dad, which like he 100% could have saved him from. Like, that is so unnecessary. So
I don't understand what Jonathan Kent's whole thing was in this movie at all.
No. It was deeply confusing.
My whole, to be fair, I put this as number two, but I by no means like, it was a very, I struggled with it. From the perspective of this, like, as an adaptation and being something like a depiction of Superman, because what I love about Superman is that he is, in all of the iterations that I've seen, because there are some wild comic book story arcs, I know that, but the thing that I like about him is when he's at his most lawful good and he's, like, his most moral, and this can be said for all of the movies. I think that all of them started, maybe not Wonder Woman, but they start at the wrong place. They start telling the story not at the beginning or not at the place where you would expect for what the movie is trying to achieve. So here we get like jam-packed of his origin story, sure. But when we actually watch him being a superhero, it's very much like Sam is saying, like he's already like battling darkness, and we're like, dude, we never saw you doing light. Like, yeah. I don't get how we got here. And even the way, you know, one of the big, I guess, criticisms of Superman, or the thing that you suspend disbelief, is that, like, you know, Lois never knows that he's Clark Kent. And so they kind of bypass that by just having her immediately find out that he's Clark Kent. But again, it feels rushed in a way where we're like, we didn't earn this at all. It just kind of like breezes right by it. Lois Lane is off in her own movie for most of this. Yes. And I just, it never came together as a cohesive introduction to Superman. It jumped us too forward in the story.
You learn a whole lot about his dad, though.
Yes.
Everything you could ever want to know about Superman's dad.
Yes.
There's so many intros. It's repetitive. We get like introduced to the whole Krypton thing. And then when he goes back to the spaceship where Lois Lane is, we hear it all again. And it's like, okay, but What? It really felt like a Batman movie that was wrapped up in a Superman cape. Like, I think Henry Cavill could actually be a really good Batman because of The Witcher. And like you said, he has that like sinister handsomeness. I don't know, sinister. Mm-hmm. That's a bit harsh. But he's not like, I always saw Superman as like kind of goofy and mischievous and just kind of like he liked playing the humble Clark Kent, right? He enjoyed it, you think. And he didn't mind playing a little, you know, guy because he was Superman and he was totally okay with that. And there's a bit of that right at the end when Clark Kent shows up in the Daily Planet and kind of winks at Amy Adams. And I was like, yes, I want that, but for the whole movie. Can you go back and like angsty teen and get rid of like gloomy superhero and have that instead? But yeah, they made a choice to make him gloomy and angsty. And I don't know if that fit, but it's what they were going for. So yeah,
it was also super confusing too because of the way in which both this movie and Batman v Superman have him like moralizing about how much he cares about humanity, but like he's real reckless with human life. And again, like I understand that, you know, he's reckless with it in because the scale of what he's facing is huge, but like and that would make sense if we had spent some time with him building towards that, you know, if we had seen him like saving the world in ways that didn't involve so much death and destruction first, then I might feel like he had earned the level of destruction that he wreaks in saving the world at the end. But they just sort of gloss over that with him. He look, here's a montage of some people he saved in small ways, and that's it. Yeah. That's enough. That's all you need. I feel like this has been my answer so many times on this podcast when I haven't liked something, but I feel it. I feel it only about this. I don't feel this is not a sentiment that I'm going to repeat for the next two movies. This one specifically, to the four movies stacked in a trench coat, I felt like the story that they were telling, it needed to be a miniseries. Like it needed to be like that's the structure for this story. Like I just, it was so frustrating watching it play out. You could have told the same story, but it needed like 6 or 7 hours to get through to like satisfactorily. And then not only 6 or 7 hours, but also like the discrete units for the individual stories, you know, so that you could say, aha, so this origin story on Krypton, that's the pilot episode. So, okay, we've told the Krypton story. Uh-huh. Episode one is done. And now we can move on. Like, yeah, progress forward from there. But trying to like zip through all of the things in that way was just, there just like was not the space or the time for it. The first of many times, I'm going to say this, a real disservice to so many actors. So, yes. just like, oh man, trying their best. And yet. This is the movie that they're in. I hope the checks were real good, though.
Oh, I'm sure that they were.
I mean, Amy Adams is a treasure, but she's just perpetually falling in this movie. And she doesn't have a lot to do.
I kind of like their chemistry. I think that, and then when he's at the Daily Planet at the end, like you said, like, that's great. That little snippet is like, that could have been where they started the movie. And then none of the rest of the movie had to exist.
Them in this movie, them in the next one, but the two of them in this movie, I agree with Mari's point that it's rushed, that we get too quickly to, I mean, her knowing about him, like that doesn't feel too fast because it doesn't, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. But the intensity of their affection for one another happens real fast.
Yeah.
However.
When you know, right?
Especially considering that like he meets her because like she stalks him and shows up at his mom's house. Like that moment I was like, okay, bitch, like back down a little bit here. So that whole thing just didn't play great to me, but again, the only actor that I kind of fault is Henry Cavill, just because I don't think he's very good at acting. But everybody else, I think, was just didn't have a lot to work off of. And I think in general that a lot of these iterations of these characters are ones that are like, you know, five steps into kinds, the ones that I don't like. So that goes for Jonathan Kent advocating for his son to just let people die. That goes for Perry White just yelling all of the time and like not, he's like, we don't care about people. I don't know if that was this or Batman versus Superman, but his whole like, sell newspapers, people can go fuck themselves. I don't know. That was like his whole like spiel. And I'm like, what kind of Perry White is this? And Lois Lane, I thought, was a little empty too, because they try to give her like the investigation gumption, but that's kind of it really. Mm-hmm. And the way that the story uses her is just kind of slots her into like, we need exposition or an explanation. Go, Lois, go. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't really develop like her own character. So it's hard to say she has chemistry because who the heck is she? I don't know. A girl.
And even a lot of the like the gumption, like their way of doing that is just like, let's have her say something like kind of macho-y. Like, yeah. Are we done measuring dicks? Like,
something, and that's about balls.
Yeah, like that's her. Yeah. Look at her. Look how tough she is. And it's just, it's like such a lazy way of communicating that she is tough. I don't know.
Running into the worst situations, just like, I'm going to the Middle East, ma'am.
I think with her and a lot of the characters in every movie, they assume that you know so much about who these characters are already, and they use that as like a huge shortcut that's just like, plucky reporter, so we don't have to flesh her out any more than that, because you know where it's going with Lois Lane. Like, she's taken care of, Batman's taken care of, Superman's taken care of. You're just sitting here knowing who these characters are and watching them for some reason do stuff.
Yeah, and they stay the same. There's not a lot of difference, except Batman gets mildly less grumpy in the next movie at the end. But
yeah, and the ending with murdering Zod also, it's like, wasn't set up that Superman doesn't murder people in this movie, or like
he's literally
nobody
smashing buildings down on people. So it really, and it's not like either of his
dads ever said don't murder anybody, and he was like, yes, I promise,
like,
I'll
kids
never
die.
Yeah, and again, yes, the amount of like destruction that he was leaving in his wake, and like how reckless he was being in this fight. I was like, there's no clear reason to me why you have not killed him yet. Like, why, that withholding? Why did you not do that the moment it became possible? This does not, nothing about this movie set up that moment for you to. you just leveled buildings, okay, to take this guy down, but a lot of people died there, but you can't, the genocidal maniac, like that's where you draw, that's the one you can't kill. Like, I don't get it.
Which, if there were like two movies of a lawful good Superman, and then this one, like maybe Lex Luthor has set it up so he has to kill Zod, or like he knows he's going to have to do it, and he's manipulated things so that happens, and then Superman ever addresses it again that he murdered somebody in the other movies, then it could work.
Yeah.
So like
there's
parts of it that could work. It's just all squished together into something that doesn't.
It's not in this movie. This movie isn't doing it. I will say though, the reason that this ultimately is my number two movie is that, like, in spite of it being many movies and like not there being like a lot of I don't know, connective tissue that is missing, generally speaking, I was not having a bad time. Like, it was, I don't know, it like it was perfectly fine to look at. Okay, that's a bar. introducing that, seeding that moment. But I don't know. It wasn't a miserable experience. Is honest and truly, that is the reason that this is my number two movie. That's the bar that it needed to trip over to earn that spot on my list.
Yeah. Of the four movies that it was, I enjoyed like maybe two of them. So, that's fine. I think that this movie did assume that we were walking in with a lot of knowledge of Superman. It assumed that we knew Superman is good, so we could watch him like being like, am I? But the easy criticism of like reboots is like that, you know, we're always going back to the origin story. That's like, you know, you always hear like, oh, we're doing this again. But the reason that reboots start at the beginning is because you need to introduce these characters to new viewers. You cannot assume that everybody is walking in with that knowledge. And also from a story storytelling standpoint, you need a complete story. So we can't rely on past iterations or other things to inform. You're telling this story right now in the 2 hours or whatever that you have. And this story just like skipped over a bunch of parts because it assumed we knew them. So what happens is that you have a very like not cohesive like storytelling mechanism here. So yeah. Boo. And I'm more mad at it because it's Superman and I love Superman. Yeah. But yes, of the experiences that I had watching movies, this one was definitely not the worst. There were a few times that I was like bored and I was questioning things, but I felt more like angry at other movies than I did at this one. Mm. It was serviceable. It was serviceable.
To me, I feel like describing it as they assume too much knowledge is honestly giving it too much credit, because to me, it feels like that assumes that they were
thinking about it.
Well, yeah, that suggests that they also had this knowledge and were writing this story and were telling this story operating off of this prior knowledge that you guys keep referring to. But I don't think that they did that either. Like, I don't think that they were building like there. It was so like incoherent and inconsistent from one thing to the next that I did not feel like there existed this knowledge that they just weren't including. Like, it wasn't part of it. And it honestly, like, yes, they assumed that we had this background with Superman, but I don't take that to mean they assumed we knew this stuff about Superman. I honestly take that in a like purely, I don't know, capitalist exploitative. They knew that we liked Superman and would give them $15 to see Superman, and it didn't matter. Like, doesn't matter what the fuck you know about Superman, because here he is. And I feel this way about I feel this way more about the other movies, but like it starts here with them. I don't know, just here's Superman, and here's a bunch of other names that you're maybe familiar with, and we'll go with that. Like,
the only reason I would like counter that is like the big emotional moment. I know a part of it is he kills Zod and it's like the last living person of his world, so that's kind of baked in there. But the emotional moment of him killing Zod to save the family is supposed to tell you something about who Superman is, that this is like a really big deal that he has murdered somebody, because Superman doesn't kill people. He doesn't kill people. Like, and I know this is the big bad, but he has literally snap somebody's neck. So there's supposed to be like this emotional weight there that it, again, is unearned and feels like something I'm reading into it because I know Superman as a character from other things. And the movie set it up in a way that I think that they thought we would know that. Like, they put that emotional beat there.
I actually did feel some emotion at that scene because it was the first time his interaction with someone, he showed emotion, really. I mean, he killed all these people and or saved them, and his face never changed. The one time it changed was when he killed Zod, and I thought, whoa, big moment. You know, this is after he's pushed him through 12 buildings, untold hundreds of thousands, right? But like, that was like, dang, he actually cares. So it did give an emotional beat, but I don't think the one that they were intending.
I was genuinely confused at that moment, again, given my like lack of Superman background. I do hear what you're saying, that like that is what the moment is meant to do, but I think that they contradicted that alleged prior information that they were assuming that we had so many times in the movie up to that point. Without like a wealth of Superman knowledge, it like took me a second to understand why he wasn't just killing him. I was like, I don't get what's good. Just do it, bro. Anyway.
I think I put that one last because I couldn't get over an hour of Russell Crowe swimming. Was that who that was? Yeah. Swimming through eggs and like stealing a monkey skull. And then like, oh, and then the other part that I thought was really funny was when he meets his dad in the ship. And his dad's like, your mother would have given anything to see you like this. And it's like, why didn't you make her into an AI too, you freak?
The dads really sucked in this movie.
Yes, the dads were the worst.
What? Was I just too dumb to understand what Jonathan Kent was trying to teach Superman? Was like, because it treats it at the end like he knows he's training him to be a hero, like when he sees him running around with the cape as a little kid. And it's like, you I just didn't know what it was supposed to be, and I thought maybe I just wasn't getting it.
But. Especially because everybody in Smallville knew anyways. Yes. Everybody ended up knowing that he was a superhero, so what are you protecting him from? Mm-hmm. I bet everybody standing behind him were like, Clark, what? Go get him.
You saved the school bus. Why didn't you save your dad? You could just go get that dog so fast.
That's why he's so angsty. The town is like, you're kind of a dick.
Not only that, the thing is, under the cover of like the fucking tornado, he could have done it without anybody knowing. Like, if he had gone where his dad did, like, he could have gotten the, like, he would have gotten the dog. He wouldn't have gotten stuck. Like, it was so pointless.
Thank God.
He survived. That's it. Yeah. Like, it was so dumb. It was so pointless. Well, from one pointless thing to another, let's get into Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. I placed this. I'm the only one who put this at the bottom, right? Yes. Okay. That means I was this close.
You were
okay.
This close. For years, I said that was the worst movie I've ever seen. So I'm in a weird headspace right now.
That's exactly where I came out of it thinking. Like, this is not suddenly the worst movie I've ever seen. Man of Steel is now. So
no. This one still held. And actually, the more I know that I just said it on a whim that I was like, yeah, sure, I'll mix it up and not say Suicide Squad. I actually do feel. Yeah, this one. So I said the thing about Man of Steel at least being okay to look at. I did not enjoy looking at this movie. Like, literally, like, the visual experience of this movie was bad. And whatever feelings I have about character motivations being like a little bit confused and out of alignment in Man of Steel, that problem becomes so much worse in this movie, in which we are, it's supposed to be this grand, like, philosophical moral argument in which both dudes suck. Like, they're like, I can't, nothing about this. I'm not looking at this being like, you know, man, that guy's got a point. Like, no, like, fuck you both. It's kind of how I felt about their whole, everything about where they were coming from. Batman also is, allegedly so invested in human life, also very cavalier with it. Like, I did not enjoy this movie. The only things that were pleasant, Henry Cavill is shirtless in a bathtub.
Yes.
That's nice. We like that. And then Wonder Woman and her good music appear.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's the only things. Cool. That's the only time I was happy in the entire 3 fucking hours that I spent watching this movie. That's it. That's the only joy I found.
It's so dense. It's hard to talk about in retrospect, I guess. Like, because it's so confusing and everything falls apart under any kind of scrutiny. I think I liked this one better than Man of Steel because there were at least more characters to spend time with. So things like, you're like, oh, I'm bored of Superman. So then you could hang out with Batman for a little while. Even if what they were doing was equally as dumb, at least you were looking at different people and hearing different voices do the dumb thing.
Just spread the dumb around.
You know, that is valid. It's not moving. It's not swaying my opinion, but I understand where you're coming from. I can feel that.
From the beginning, from the introduction, I had this immediate, this is the movie I hadn't seen. So from the beginning, it took me a long time to be like, what is this movie doing? I had no knowledge of what the plot was going to be, or except for Batman versus Superman. And it took me a while really to even, like, I don't know, find ground in this movie and what exactly it was trying to achieve. Like, I kept sitting here being like, where's the beginning of the plot thread? I could not pick it up to the point I had to, like, look up the Wikipedia page and read the entire plot to see, like, where we were going, because I just didn't get it. And then after we started, like, it started coming together, it went into that place of like, well, nothing makes sense. None of the motivations make sense. You're clearly being manipulated. And it sucks that the audience sees that so early and are too big, super smart superheroes or whatever, are just too dumb to notice anything, and they're just like charging at each other on like the, like, I don't know, flimsiest of reasons. Yeah. or like, ugh, it was frustrating.
Batman's whole thing still doesn't really make sense to me, why he was like, I guess it does because the building got destroyed, but then after that point I don't really understand, like, was Lex Luthor making him more mad? Was he like paying people to kill the people that Batman arrested or something like that? Was that a plot point?
Yes, the people dying in prison was his part of his whatever.
But why did he do that? Was that to make Superman go and investigate Batman?
Okay. That was to manipulate Superman, I think, to thinking Batman was bad, mm-hmm. was right. his sort of like campaign against. The thing is, but like, since it was the second time I saw this movie, I feel like I understood it better, which may have elevated it that little minuscule amount.
That's how I felt too. Like, I kind of understood what Lex's plan was a little bit more, even if at the end he still kidnaps Lois Lane and Martha to like. Yeah. make Superman go kill Batman, so he didn't really need to do a lot of
stuff. It was so convoluted.
And he still created the monster. And he still created the monster. Yeah. He's like, well, just in case. And I was like, can we just have fought the monster? Like, that's the deal in the superhero movies. But no, the problem is the title of the movie. It's Batman v Superman. I'm going to ignore colon Dawn of Justice because why? but the whole point of the movie is Batman v Superman. And they're like, I guess we'll make him fight. And that's my best guess as why they did that.
And that was the only way they could figure out how to get them to fight with each other.
Yeah.
And I don't even understand, like what the two sort of moralities that they're pitching against each other are. Because again, we've just seen them be a little dark, a little broody, very cavalier. Both of them. So what are we exactly pitching against each other?
It seems like you guys agree.
Honestly don't understand.
They're the same guy.
It's like they're the same guy.
They
make a lot of pains to make it seem bad that Superman destroyed Metropolis in the previous movie, except Superman never grapples with it. And like, he never feels bad about it, which I thought was very strange that there's not a scene of him being like, oh, I'm trying to be better.
Yes. The only destruction that they loosely address that via Lois, but like it's a much smaller scale thing. And then even that turns into like, oh no, the woman that caused him to sort of question, oh, like, did I do a bad thing because I was putting my heart over like saving people or whatever? That question was raised by somebody who was paid off. So like, never mind. Like, that time that you spent like engaging with that was actually irrelevant because he was also a plant in the most convoluted fucking villain plan imaginable.
There were so many ways that you could have there was a hop, skip, and a jump to an easier answer. But it just kept building in more complicated ways. So like the moment that Clark was like, damn, is Superman bad? I don't know, bro. Superfly over there, find him and be like, hey, what's your deal? And it was like, I don't understand like why that never happened. Like, you're powerful, I'm powerful, maybe we should chat sometime. And that never occurred to anybody.
Yeah, I guess didn't know about Batman until this movie or something.
Why? He's been operating for 20 years. Yeah. And he just like found out about Batman.
Yeah.
Well, and then the one time, like, once Superman figures it out and he's like, okay, like, we need to talk, like, that whole scene was also deeply infuriating to me, because that is not a man trying to have a conversation. Like, he just keeps like stepping closer to Batman for no good reason, where it's like, he can hear you, like, stand still. Like, if you don't want to be if you're trying to let him know that you're not being threatening, like if that's your goal here, like, stop coming at him and insisting that the only way you can make him listen is by like throwing him on the ground. Like, I just, like, I'm gonna fight you, and now that's how I'm gonna tell you that I don't want to fight you. Like, what? What are you doing?
The whole time I've been like questioning, is Man of Steel better than this movie? Right? Because you guys are making me question, but I'm now on like 100%. Man of Steel is better than this movie, based solely on the stupidity of, why'd you say Martha? Why'd you say, oh my God. Are you kidding me? Their moms have the same name?
Yes. That's the resolution. That's the resolution. Is not you? Oh my God, your mom is the same name as my mom? Wow.
It's like in Step Brothers. Did we just become best friends? Yeah.
Or Batman. Maybe Batman just thinks they're brothers now. He's really confused. If they had come at it as, he has a mom too, that would have maybe made it, like, that could have saved it. If Batman had realized, like, oh, he grew up just like me, like, he has parents he cares about. Which is why I didn't think the Martha thing was quite as stupid this time as I did the first time. Because I guess, I knew it was coming, so. Yeah. But it made a teeny, teeny bit of sense to me.
No, I'm solidly on, like, this was really, especially because they attempt to seed this as a very meaningful moment, because when Batman's parents die, they have this unnecessary dramatic shot of his dad as he's lying there dying saying, Martha. Remember, guys, his mom's name is Martha.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I think the thing that made it worse to me, too, was that previous to, like, the Martha moment, Batman is beating Superman up, and he's like, I bet your parents taught you to be good. You know what my parents taught me? Nothing, because they're dead.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And then the moment he's like, wait, but your mom's name is Martha? Now I care that you have parents. Yeah. I didn't before. That you know, I just thought that it was really bad that you had parents who taught you good things. But now I care because her name is Martha.
Okay, what I forgot the about hell? Those lines. Yes. So you're right.
Yes, it was so That's bad. Awful. It was so frustrating. Yeah, I just, I and it's also exasperating because it reminded me of one of my like least favorite plot threads in the MCU, which is like questions about whether or not like should your absolute power, is that acceptable? Is it okay that people like, that's an interesting question to ask. Mm-hmm. I have yet to see a superhero property handle it in a way that I find satisfactory. And this was no exception because it asks it like that is a central question throughout this movie. And it doesn't really answer it, but to the degree that it has an answer, the answer is very might makes right answer, which I hate. Like I hate that. Mm-hmm. To the degree that it has an answer, it's a bad one, and it like doesn't really even satisfactorily make that case either. So I just all around, yeah, this is the worst one. I stand by it. I'm committed.
I know we have to move on. I know we have to move on. But before we do, Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I
freaking
hated it. Hated it so much. I hated it so much. The entire performance and just like the I don't know, approach of him as like Mark Zuckerberg meets Joker by way of the Riddler is like this Lex Luthor. And I was like, why are we doing this? And I still don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bad writing did not serve him well because he gave these weird monologues that made no sense. And wow, twitched the whole time. Yeah.
yet another instance though of like none of these actors, I don't blame any of them. Like they just, what were they given? What were they handed?
Yeah, exactly.
what did they have there? A pile of garbage.
I like to think of Superman like, so I punch him now, but why? And they're like, no, just do it. It's just we gotta do the scene. Yeah. Like, okay. I guess I'm gonna punch you.
This movie also had an extended, very bad swimming scene. Both this and Man of Steel have very boring swimming scenes that take too long. Ugh. And what did she even throw that spear into? Like, why is there a bottomless swimming pool wherever they are?
Because she needed a place to throw the spear, Sam.
Yeah. She throws it and then 4 minutes later needs to swim down and get it again. Very bad.
Thank God for Wonder Woman, right? I mean, whew. Yeah. Save that end scene. Like, that was the whole point. I was like, woo, this is great. And it was over. Oh, God. Best part of the movie.
Well, let's keep wading through the garbage and talk about Suicide Squad. Ooh. One of you put this at number two. Who put this at number two?
Me. Oh, no, not number two. This is my worst.
I
did.
Jessica.
I put his number two.
All right, go for it.
Okay, Jessica, convince us.
Yeah. So, like I said, when we were doing liked, disliked before, the other two were dislike, and this one was a slash, like, slash, dislike. Okay. Because, as I said, I was seduced by the trailer, and for the movie, it could have been. And I know that that's not the movie it is. It very clearly isn't. And this is my third watching, and it still isn't. So I'm resigned. But, like, there were enough moments throughout, like, Batman versus Superman, there was that one moment of Wonder Woman, hooray. There were just little moments throughout that was like, oh, this is what this almost was. This is what that almost was. There's some cool camaraderie between the villains. There is this kind of interesting thing that happens. Like, I laughed here and not at something, but because of it, you know, like, so for me, I was like, oh, it's just, there's little bright lights that kind of string me along through the film, and I'm not screaming at it in the same way I was with the other two. For, you know, there's plenty to scream at, but it was interspersed. So that's why I put it at number two.
I think the most frustrating thing for me is that it would have been at least an interesting movie if there had been movies leading up to it that had these characters in
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And that would have been like, oh, if you knew them already, then it would. And that's the same for all the movies. But if you knew them already, it would have been a serviceable movie.
Yeah. Correct. All right. Yeah. Why is this one the worst? Let's go.
I've changed my mind, actually.
Oh.
I think that the correct thing is that Batman v Superman is the worst, because yeah. I was just sitting here thinking about if I had to rewatch these movies, it would pain me the most to watch Batman v Superman. Pain me the most. Suicide Squad, I would watch again. I don't know why, but if you were like, you have to, I'd be like, okay, I will.
You can only be exempt from watching one, but yeah.
And so it wouldn't be as bad an experience, because hearing Jessica describe it that way, like, there were moments that, again, were serviceable, where as I felt like physically pained through a lot of Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
I think that from Go, again, exactly what we've been saying, this starts at the wrong place because we don't know any of these characters, and they, also they're villains, so why am I supposed to care at all? It was never going to be a story for me, because I hate anti-villains and anti-heroes. Like, not hate, that's a strong word, but I'm very skeptical of their stories, and I think it takes a lot of work to convince me about a group of villains doing good things, and I don't think that this was particularly convincing. And then the beginning with the info dump and the literally sitting at a table and going through each character, it started it off on such a bad foot. I don't think I ever truly recovered. Like, I just kept thinking back, remember that info dump? And like, the movie is trying to win me over, and it just never did. I honestly, that beginning was so bad. I don't think
some of the characters get two info dumps. Like,
there were
minimum
at least four. I counted this time. Four introductions. No. Why? There's the first prison. There's the dinner. There's the showing off of the Pentagon. And then there's another prison scene where they show off their powers. We saw that clip of Diablo like 50 times. Mm-hmm. I get it. Yeah.
Annoying. And it's because to get to these, like, okay, to look back at the MCU model, we had so many standalone movies of these heroes before we got an Avengers. Yeah. Because when you're doing, it's hard to introduce a bunch of characters in one movie and still give us a plot that is cohesive enough to be like enjoyable and to have us like invest in these characters. So this movie went, okay, well, nobody knows these characters. What can we do? And they went, oh, I know. We'll introduce them for a time. That was the wrong answer. That was absolutely the wrong. That is not how you do that. I don't know how you do it, but I can tell you, four introductions is not the way.
I mean, how you do it is you don't. Yeah. Like this again, like nothing about this felt like this is how we do this thing thoughtfully or interestingly. It was just like, okay, here's some more DC characters and like and some actors that you love, and there you go. Like,
which actors do we love who are in that movie?
Well, Will Smith.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Will Smith. I actually thought was pretty good. I liked him.
Margot Robbie.
Yes. Yep.
Her. I don't remember Harley Quinn being so flat in this movie as she ended up being. Like, she doesn't. I think because Birds of Prey I like so much, I just remember her being interesting in this movie, and she's not at all.
I will agree.
I hadn't seen this movie before, but I agree. I also really enjoyed Birds of Prey, and I was just like disappointed by like the thing that I found. But also, Birds of Prey, the script is better.
Everything is better.
Everything, everything happening around her is better. Mm-hmm. Will Smith is like far and away the person who I cared about the most in this movie. He's the one who has like an actual like arc. He has motivations that make sense to me. Mm-hmm. He's the only character whose choices, like, consistently from beginning to end, I understood and I, like, empathized with. But the very fact that there was a character whose choices I understood and empathized with from beginning to end makes
it's
this better
the
than
list,
Batman
isn't it?
Superman.
That's true. Yeah.
I think it should have been, like, Will Smith, Harley Quinn, and maybe one other, and then just cut everybody else. Because, like, he and Harley Quinn did have first time, whatever. Second time, Harley Quinn's flat. But the third time, I was like, well, she does have this nice back and forth with Will Smith. Yeah. Like, they were trying to develop a relationship between the two of them, but they just didn't have enough space to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, Viola Davis is an actor we love who is done so dirty by this
movie.
So bad. What the fuck?
So bad.
Oh my gosh.
What the fuck? Yeah. I just, her whole character, a real mess. it was, again, it was like, you know, people love How to Get Away with Murder, so let's have you like in a suit and like it was just it felt like it was
and doing murder.
Yeah, it was just it was a real pantomime of
and
something.
She's getting away with it.
Yeah, it just
I think one of the things that these movies, or at least the first three, like these they're bad at villains. Yeah. Like all the big bads are always like not quite there. As much as I like to hate on Loki in the MCU, like there is no Loki where you have like a really interesting, compelling, complex villain. Mm-hmm. Like, because all of the Enchantress stuff in here, like the reason that it's so bad is because who decided this was a good idea?
Yes.
Like the storytelling aspect of like which. We can control her. No, please. I'm sorry.
And part of their demo is to have her magic into like a secure room in another country and back again. Like what makes you believe that you're going to maintain this control of her heart? Like why did everybody in the room go, oh yeah, okay, you got her. Like, let's go.
This one more than any of them is based on the comics more. And she like, that's basically what her storyline is in a lot of Suicide Squad is like, she's on the Suicide Squad, but is always turning evil, and they always have to like,
like there she goes again. Yeah, pretty much. Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah. Pretty much.
The Loki example is interesting too, though, because it goes back to what you said before about like the time and the introductions, like that, like mm-hmm. There is space to explore this character and not just be like, okay, he's a villain, but now he's good. Like the whole premise of this movie doesn't make sense because we haven't met these people before. And like all we know about them is here they are criminals, like they're bad.
Yeah.
But now we're going to make them do good because of reasons. Except for Will Smith, who we're going to give a real and genuine motivation to. But everyone else, nothing.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, if we saw them hanging out on their own, we could start to get a better idea of who they are because we see them hang out. But they're literally prisoners and they're being, like, frog marched into this thing. So they're being tamped down. We can't see who they are in their natural element naturally. And so they told us everything they told us. I think they should tell us one thing and then show us the rest. Don't say he's an assassin, he's angry, he's, you know, whatever. Just like say he's an assassin and have him yell at someone. We'll get it, right? But they decided to give us the full right. Well, I promise it's not that hard. But they just I don't know, that Slipknot guy was there for 2 seconds and died. Why is Katana even there? She's not even evil.
Well, Katana's cool.
She's awesome, but she like, I don't know. She's too cool for this. If I were her, I'd have been out of there. Like, no thanks.
You learned everything you need to know about Slipknot with the line, "Here comes Slipknot, the man who can climb anything." So, come on. What else do you need to know?
He was marked for death immediately.
I didn't have a problem with Katana, and that would have been a character that, like, it's like Black Widow shows up in some movie randomly, and you're like, oh, cool, Black Widow's here.
I liked watching her fight. She seemed awesome.
Yeah.
She didn't talk enough. I just wanted more of her. If I can't get it, I'm grumpy.
It is kind of disappointing doubly because I would say like between DC and Marvel, Marvel has the better hero characters and DC has the better villain characters by like a long shot because their heroes are kind of boring and they are like reacting to how like the Joker, Lex Luthor. And for this one to like waste that so much, it like I guess goes to show how good Marvel was at like building up something from much weaker source material.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they were not doing the thing that, again, these movies kept doing and just saying, okay, all of these characters are cardboard cutouts. And and like there's like you have this baseline of this character is this. The Marvel movies all decided we are going to construct a version of this character. Like this is like we will borrow, you know, bits and pieces from source material, whatever. But like each one of those, for the most part, not all of them, most of those scripts do assume we have to construct a character now. Like is the thing. We're not, you know, we are not going to assume that I'm not going to parade this little cardboard standee in front of you and call it a protagonist.
Yeah.
Which is what 3 for 3 now we've discussed. But fortunately for all of us, we were building up to. I would have been so bad if these movies had happened in the other order. It was so nice to know that I had something waiting for me at the end. Yes. And that is Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman. It's time to like something.
Yay! A real movie with a plot and character arcs.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing.
Amazing.
And by no means like a perfect movie, I would say. I think that this was my second time watching it. And when I first watched it, I enjoyed it. And I definitely had that sense of like, okay, there are things here that I could criticize and like plot things that weren't my fave or whatnot. But in general, I enjoyed it. Watching it again, and I know that it is probably because I watched them all in close succession, like I liked it even more the second time around.
Yes. Mm.
And like those things that I was like, okay, that's not perfect. I still saw them. But at this point, like, I'm like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. And so part of it was that like close watching between all the movies. But also, I don't know, in 2021, watching this, I think 2017 Wonder Woman movie, it was like refreshing just to have that lawful good character with like a strong sense of morality and mm-hmm. a very simple superhero story and like a very super superhero arc. Mm-hmm. And even like the big set pieces of her talking about love and like falling in love and that being the thing where that stuff bothered me when I first watched it. I found it more charming here. I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, she did mm-hmm. fall into love. You go, girl. Like,
after watching so many like overly long, that's the thing. All of these movies are way too fucking long.
Even
Wonder Woman too. Like I will also, none of these movies needed the runtime that it had. Yes. But like after watching those three excessively long movies who part of their problem is that they just were like, let's be dark, that's how we're gonna do this, is if it's really gritty, to just mm-hmm. watch, it's she's sweet and good and she's happy. Like, I don't know, I was like,
and she's
oh.
from a nice sunny place.
I mean, visually even this was so much better. Like London yeah. is kind of dirty and the war obviously is kind of like grimy and gray, but there were moments that were like bright. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, just visually this was much better done. The choreography I thought was really like noticeable and good in a way I did not take note of in the other movies. Like mm-hmm. I was watching this and I was like, ooh, cool, like slide and yeah. cool punch. And I was like, wait, I have not thought that at all through three superhero movies. And like in this one, there were those moments that felt very Wonder Woman, that they used her physicality and like her character to really inform sort of that, the fight choreography and everything. So it felt like a successful superhero movie, which the yeah. others know.
That No Man's Land. Yes. Scene yes. is still so cool.
Yes. Amazing.
I love that.
Yeah. We'll never not cry, I think, is really the I this is only my second time seeing the movie, but I cried in the theater watching that scene, and I I was kind of doing something else while I was watching that movie because I got so close to time of recording in finishing it, but I like stopped what I was doing to sit down and mm-hmm. once again wept. So I still, like, while I was watching it, I was trying to figure it out. This time I was like what is it, because again, like, I don't think that this is a perfect movie. I think the end of like the third act of this movie is like, it's kind ugh. Of a mess. Yeah. But that scene, even as like none of these movies in general, I don't like them as much as most of the Marvel movies, to be honest with you, but that scene is like top three like favorite superhero movie scenes. It just gets me. And I think like part of it is the setup, is like the lead up to it, the fact that we have this clear, like, everybody views this situation as utterly hopeless. Like, this is a point of genuine despair. There is no hope here. It like brings out nihilism, and then, you know, like, we have her step out in this like very like beautiful moment of hope. And I think it part of why that moment is so affecting is also part of why this movie is so refreshing after all of the others, you know. Like, I think I don't know, like, I feel a nihilistic energy coming off of the first three movies, you know. And so to come into this movie where you're like, oh, here is this hero who is just like, genuinely, her whole thing is just like hope and optimism. Like, that's mm-hmm. her whole jam. Also, unlike the other fucking heroes, her actions back up her concern for human yes. life.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She is not behaving in a way that is reckless. And, you know, and again, like, that is also embodied in that No Man's Land scene. Like, I just This one's the best one, just in so on every possible level.
No, because she's fulfilling her purpose as the superhero that she's supposed to be. Her whole point is to be the light for mankind, right? Especially in the face of war. And when we've earned the tension that they keep building, you can't help this person, you can't help that guy. And then finally she's like, no, enough. And has this moment of, I'm doing the thing. And we're like, yes, do the thing. That's why we came to the movie, you know, and they just shot it and it was so cool. And it's just part of her arc is even, you know, she keeps her moral center. She changes, but she, you know, her core doesn't change. It's just like more affirmed. And that's almost how you should have done Superman. Like, but then she is still not perfect, even though she's perfect, right? But like in the beginning, there's still a lot for her to learn, but we follow and it makes sense. Her path towards where she is at the end. And yeah, that scene is amazing. So I agree.
I think also it's super impactful because we watch her go, like her introduction and origin is like an extended training sequence. So we see her fighting and learning how to fight. But yeah. I think there's something really like impactful about taking her. We've seen her fighting on like the island or whatnot, but then putting that in something that we have like more of a grounding in, or like something more realistic. So, you know, magical Amazon island, yeah, fake war. Like, I feel like that feels like something that there's more like a one-to-one to it too. So then to see her fight in that setting of war, it just is like really, really amazing to watch. And so that moment just felt like, oh damn, like here we go. Like, you know, like this is the hero. And I agree that this is the arc that Superman needed. And it is a flat arc. So I think people kind of rub up against flat arcs sometimes because the question here isn't like necessarily changing the character at all. The question is more, what kind of hero do I want to be? So that is like a very linear arc for Wonder Woman. And that's what Clark needed. That's what Superman needed. What kind of hero do I want to be? Instead, not like, am I bad? Like, I don't know, bro. I just met you. Are you bad?
This movie also had, like, because of that, it had a clear point of view. One of many reasons that I hate Batman v Superman is that it took an interesting question and then didn't really answer it. It kind of answered it with a bad answer, but didn't even actually answer that. Like, this, like, her whole thing is, oh, all I have to do is defeat Ares and then war goes away. Then I've solved war and everything's all better. And like, and like, we love that. We love her commitment to that idea. And like, that's great. But like, you know, like there's a clear point here. Okay. You like, getting rid of Ares doesn't actually make war go away. Like, it's complicated, but that doesn't mean that you need to, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't still be making the choices that you are making. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't still try to do the right thing. And like, that's it. Like, that's the whole point. It's not a complicated point, but it, like, it has a point. Like, there's a clear purpose, and none of the other three movies had a fucking point. That's that.
Also, when she killed Ares, war did go away and the sun came out and the bad soldiers hugged the good soldiers.
And that was the point. Virtue it of helped. Calling World War One the war to end all wars. Uh-huh. Like, I think that the hidden message is that,
yes,
there's still war out there. More war to come.
I did the end of the movie. Yes. I agree with like your general point though, which is that like there are ways in which the end of the movie is messy. And like, that is for sure the reason why I would call this movie good and not great. Yeah. Like, while I was watching it, I remembered that was my opinion, was this movie is good, not great. While I was watching it, I was like, what was I talking about? This is great. And then we get to the, like, when she gets to the, before stuff actually started happening, but when she arrives at that site, I was like, oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. I remember now. I know.
Like an hour of the movie, too. It's so long.
Yes, yes. Again, and that's, right, that is the part, that whole section is the reason why this movie also did not need the runtime that it had.
Yeah.
Like, that whole bit needed to be cleaned up a little bit. I mean, I enjoyed the idea, though, that, like, she kills the wrong guy. Like, that there are pieces of it that are good. It just needed to be tightened and cleaned up a bit.
Yeah. I think if the war had kept going after she had killed Ares and she had been kind of like, ugh, I got more work to do, gotta dust my hands off and get to it, instead of like, maybe in this universe, World War II didn't happen and no other wars ever happened. I'm not really sure what the implication is supposed to be here,
It also doesn't make sense because in the last movie, she's saying that she walked away from mankind for 100. Like, I don't know that. Like, what is going on here? Because that isn't.
She seems like she's in a great place.
She seems like she's into this movie and is committed to the fight.
Sad about Steve. So, you know, it takes a minute till you get back home. And you're like, oh no, I'm really sad, actually. I'm going to stay in bed. But I walked home, and that's what's important. But, you know, I think it's telling that the scene that we're all talking about as the best scene is the No Man's Land scene and not the final end battle, which I knew happened, but I forgot all the details about before rewatching. I was like, I know she fights him, but I knew it was visually cool, but it didn't have that same, you know, strength that the other one did. And that's not good for your big final battle. That's a sign of you need to do something else.
It's fun to watch somebody like pick up military equipment and throw it around. It's not as much fun to watch two CGI people sword fight with each other.
Yes. That's true. And I think that the big moment of like, you know, nobody tells me what to do, I'm going to do it. That we got that at the No Man's Land. So totally. Again, here it was kind of like, the other one did it better.
Right.
And then the moments, even though this scene was like, the sequence was too long, the moments in between killing the fake out and then being like, oh no, it was you. It was too quick. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, oh, wait, what? Okay, whiplash. Where are we going here? Uh-huh. So some of that pacing was just a little off, and the emotional beats were kind of done better elsewhere in the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
And to better effect for the character. I hadn't even thought about that, but to the point about like the No Man's Land scene, it's not just you don't tell me what to do, I do. It's like I do because I am this lawful good character, and like watch me go do good. Whereas that moment with Steve does feel more like, I mean, yes, it is prompted by death that she felt that she could have prevented. So like there, it's not that it's missing, but it is definitely, there is this undertone of like, you're trying to boss me around that isn't in the No Man's Land scene. Like her motivation is not, it has nothing to do with him telling her what she can and cannot do. Like that is irrelevant to her in that moment. It's just that she knows what she must do because of who she is. Whereas the later moment with Steve has too many like hints of, you know, I don't know. It's that it's him telling her what to do, or maybe like because she like cares about him, that's making her lose herself. I'm not really even sure, but there's like it's obfuscated a little by their dynamic in a way that the No Man's Land scene is not.
I also think Dr. Poison and that guy are fun too. I like when they are killing all of the like German high command and they like have a good laugh about it.
The masks won't help them. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All around, just so many things that are functional parts of a movie in this one.
Yep. Humor, which we don't get a lot of throughout this. Or like Suicide Squad tries, and there are some jokes that landed, but some that I was like, okay. But Superman and Batman definitely did not. I don't think I laughed once. I cried, you know, for wrong reasons.
No, I laughed when Batman said, Martha?
Yes, bad reasons. The movie did not want you to laugh at that moment, but there are still... I remembered thinking that there were moments of this that were funny, and I think that a lot of those beginning like fish out of water, like I still cracked up when she was like, "Oh, baby!" Like, So there was like humor here in a way. It really was like, you know, a sunrise. This movie, just like light and joy, where we had not had any in three previous movies.
I watched them out of order, so I had watched. Oh. I thought Wonder Woman was the third one, so I had to suffer through a Suicide Squad.
Oh,
after
no. Sam.
That's not good. No.
Terrible. I hate that for you.
No. Did you guys watch the long Batman vs Superman?
Yes.
Did anybody watch the short hour? One?
I don't think you can even find the short one anymore. I think they've stricken it from the record.
I was willing, because I like put this off till way too late, and I was like, you know what? I will pay $10 to rent or whatever it is to save a half an hour of my life. But I could not even find the option. So I also watched the 3 hour.
Was there a marked difference that you guys could tell between like the cuts? Because I had never seen this movie.
There was more around the complex plot that actually might have helped a little. Like they were explaining who was doing what for Lex Luthor, and they're like, we don't need that. But it is more helpful. Like you follow the woman who he paid off from the village and stuff.
I think there might be more about Clark investigating Batman in Gotham too, maybe. Like there's a couple more scenes of that. but I don't know for sure.
So, you know, like character motivation, plot explanation, the stuff that they didn't need for the theater cut.
Yeah. The theater audiences really just didn't need any of that.
Yeah. The fact that you needed 30 more minutes, that you needed this to be a 3-hour movie to make it make sense is baffling to me. And I say make it make sense like lightly, because did it?
They didn't even succeed in making it make sense with their extra half an hour. So like,
I think there's like a 5-hour cut of this movie.
Stop.
So that might come out someday.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Yeah. Well, that'll do it for this first round of DC movies. That brings us to the end of this episode of Snark Squad Pod. Thank you so much to Sam and Jessica for joining us on this journey.
This will be the worst part of it, I think.
Yeah, I think, yes. I think so too. Okay. Yes, it will. I was about to say Justice League is extremely bad. However, Justice League is only one movie.
It's just by itself.
It's just by itself. It's just one. There's only one extremely bad movie. And then the last four should be fine.
Yeah.
So we have that to look forward to. Thank you all for listening to us. I'm especially sorry if you happen to like these movies, I guess. I don't know. We would love to hear all of your thoughts. There will be a post dedicated to this episode up at snarksquad.com, or you can find us on Twitter at snark_squad. I am at Sweeney Says.
You can find me at My Name is Marines.
I'm at Slam Schultz.
And I am at Antisian.
This show is a Snark Squad production, edited by me, and the music is by Stefan Chan.